Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Ayin Ches, and we are about 15 lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Zayin Omid Beis. So yesterday we began the sugya of the Elohein HaNerogin. So we had the Elohein HaNeskolin, Elohein HaNesrofin, and the Elohein HaNerogin. So who was Chayef Herig, also known as Sayef? The Mishnah said a Reitzeach. If somebody kills somebody b'mezid, he's Chayef Miso, which Miso Sayef? The Anche Iranidacha. So we had sugyas that discussed some of the lumdis of when a person is deemed a Reitzeach that's going to be Chayef Misas Bezdin, and when a person is deemed a Reitzeach not Chayef Misas Bezdin, and maybe not even deemed a Reitzeach at all. And one of the themes of yesterday's daf was that just like when it comes to Nezokin, this halacha of Groma ben Nezokin Potter, so too, when it comes to Shvichas Dam, when it comes to Ritzicha, you have the same idea of Groma ben Nezokin Potter. Meaning, if you kill somebody directly, you'll be Chayiv Nisas Bezdin. But if you kill somebody, B'derech Groma, just like in Chayshem Mishpat, when it comes to the laws of Nezakin, you're going to be Potter Medine Adam, albeit Chayim Medine Shemayim. So too, if you would kill somebody, B'derech Groma, you would be Potter Medine Adam. However, like Rashi speaks out of the Sugya, you would be Chayim Medine Shemayim. What would be interesting to ponder a little is, what about Garmi? So we know Groma ben Nezakin is Potter, but Rameir, Baba Kama Davkov, is Doin Dina de Garmi. What's the difference between Groma and Garmi? So Groma and Garmi are both when you're Mazik somebody, albeit indirectly. The difference is, qualitatively speaking, be'echos, how indirect was it? Groma is more indirect. Garmi is a little bit less indirect, what we used to call directly indirect. So if somebody kills somebody, Garmi, according to Rameir, that's da in dinah de Garmi, would he be viewed as a regular Reitzeach b'chayiv misas bezdin or not? Meaning, you see, the laws of Groma pertain to Shvichas Damim just like they pertain to Nezakin. And that's why Groma b'Nezakin is Potter, Groma b'Shvichas Damim is also going to be Potter. Yesh lachker, when it comes to Garmi, Rameir, who's da in dinah de Garmi, are you going to say that Groma's Potter, Garmi is chayiv by Nezakin, so too by Shvichas Damim you're going to be chayiv, or maybe not? Either way, that would be a discussion for another day. Regardless, the last halacha that the Gemara discussed, which segued into an interesting sport that they used to play b'mei Chazal, and that was if somebody throws a rock or a ball off a wall, and he had intent for the ball to rebound off the wall, hit somebody else, and kill him, or maybe he had intent to hit him and not kill him. Point is, the person ended up dying. So are you viewed as a Reitzeach, b'mezid, or b'shoigig, or are you not viewed as a Reitzeach? So Rava said, Zorak tzor b'koysel, v'chazro la'achayre, it rebounded off the wall, v'harga, and it killed somebody, da'lochi is chayiv, you're going to be chayiv, says the Gemara. That's where we pick up. L'meimra d'kai gav n'koychahu, so you see that if I throw something at somebody, but I don't throw it directly at him, I throw it off something, and it goes from that thing and hits somebody else. Like in this case, I threw it off the wall, it rebounded off the wall and hit somebody and killed them. That's considered that it happened through my koyach. What's the other side? The other side is that as soon as it hits the wall, we look at it as if it's coming from the wall, not coming from me anymore. If it's not coming from me anymore, then we cannot connect the Shvichas Damim to my act. As a result, I wouldn't be Chayiv. Now, if Rava said you are Chayiv, that means we view it as Koichai. V'remini, I'll ask you a kasha. Hamikadesh. And this is a Mishnah Mesechtes Parah that was discussing the Kohen that was preparing the Mei Chatos that was used for the Parah Aduma, to sprinkle on somebody that was a Tamei Meis. So in order for somebody to become Tar from Tumas Meis, in a perfect world, you would need the Parah Aduma. They would take the Parah Aduma, go through the process as mentioned in the beginning of Parashas Chukas. At the end of the process, they would burn the Parah Aduma, take the ashes, they would mix it with Mayim, a very special type of Mayim, and they would sprinkle it on top of the person that was Tamei Meis. So this person is taking the Efer and he's mixing it together with the water. So the halach is, he's supposed to take the Efer, put it into the cup, the trough, wherever the water is, and mix it. But what he did was, instead of putting the Efer directly into the water, he put it on the ledge of where the water was, and it fell by itself into the water. Or he put it on his hand, and it fell from his hand onto the water. The kiddush, meaning the Efer, fell into the cup of water, but it went via his hand. Or it was on the side of the keli where the water was, and it went from the keli, meaning it ended up going machmas koiche, but it didn't go directly in. There was a stopover. Either it went through his hand, or it touched first the side of the keli and then it went inside. It ended up where it was supposed to end up, inside this trough. Possible. The halacha is it's possible. And the reason is because the kohen is the one that has to put the efer. And it has to be koichai. And we assume that being that it didn't go directly, it's not considered koichai anymore. So Freit the Gemara, why is that different than Rava's case? Rava said that if I throw something off the wall and it goes machmas koichai from the wall and hits somebody and kills him, I'm chayiv, meaning it is koichai, despite the fact that I didn't hit him directly. It went through the wall, so why should this be any different? Zokta Gemara, hachav mayaskinim b'shoyses. The case over there was where the person put the efer on, let's say, the ledge of the keli, and it stopped. And then afterwards, there was a koyach sheni that caused it to fall into the water. So being that my maisa stopped, when did it stop? When the efer landed and settled on the ledge of the keli, so it's for that reason when it now falls into the water, it's not considered my miso anymore. But when I throw a tsar off a wall, it doesn't stop on the wall, that's not possible. It bounces off the wall. But my miso never stopped, being that my miso ever stopped, despite the fact that it touched the wall doesn't bother me. If it stopped on the wall, then we would say that my miso is complete, and now it's a koyach sheni that's going ahead and killing the person. That is the case by a Makadish v'nafal kiddush al-yodai. But in Rava's case, that's not what happened. Toshma, another rai, machat shayin esun al-acheres, somebody had a machat, a needle, that was tameh, and it was on top of a kli cheres, v'hizoleh, and now he's sprinkling water on it because he wants to be metahirit. And there was a safik ala machat, he's a safik al-acheres, he's a. So he knows that the machat became wet, meaning technically what he was sprinkling ended up on the machat. He just wasn't sure if there was a direct impact. Did it hit the machat directly, or did the water go on the cheres, and from the cheres it went on the machat? So the halach is, hazaz say pasul. The hazaz is going to be pasul. Why is it going to be pasul? Because you have to sprinkle directly on the machat in order to be metayret. I mean that there's a suffix over here whether he did that. Could be it went via the cheres. If it goes via the cheres, it comes out that you weren't a hisa. You didn't do it directly. What's the kasha? Who cares if it went via the cheres? Again, why is it different than Rava's case? It's still considered koichai. As long as it happened machmas koichai, what's the difference between throwing a rock against the wall and hit somebody, that it's considered that I threw it at the person despite the fact that it went via the wall, and this case where I spritzed on the cheres and it went from the cheres right onto the machat. At the end of the day, it didn't happen. So the Gemara says the same teretz. Amrav chiner bar Yehuda mishmei derav matzo itmar. Meaning, the girsa that we had in this braisa was umitza. Umitza seems to suggest that we know for sure that when I spritzed it, it either went directly on the machat, or it went from the cheres right onto the machat. If that were the case, says the Gemara, it's pasha, you'd be tar, because that was Rava's chiddush. Either way, it's koichai. Change the girsa to umatza, meaning you don't even know if that's what happened. There's a third possibility over here. The third possibility is that maybe I threw it on the cheres, it landed on the cheres, and then matza, I just so happened to have found the machat wet, but I don't know how it got wet. Meaning, if I hit it directly on the machat, for sure it's going to be tar. If I threw it on the cheres and it rolled directly onto the machat, that's Rava's halacha, for sure it's going to be tar as well. And the problem is that I don't even know if that's what happened. I have a third possibility. The third possibility is maybe I threw it on the cheres, it landed on the cheres, it settled, then there was a koyach achar that caused it to go on the machat. It was only mitzah. I just found it there. I don't even know if it was mitzah. For that reason, the halacha over is going to be possible. Omer Rav Papa, hi man, the kasvi l'chavre, more halachas that get into some of the lumdis of understanding shvichas dam. So these are some pretty intense gemaras, not terribly difficult, but some pretty intense gemaras, lumdish gemaras, gemaras that would probably be better learned with a chavrusa and yeshiva, with a shtender, coffee, the whole nine yards, but we do what we do. If somebody ties his friend down, he tied him down next to a wall. Now, it just so happened, just to make the story dramatic, that on the other side of the wall, there was a river. Now, the river was being blocked by the wall. So he ties his friend down, Brooklyn style. He can't move, punctures a hole in the wall, and now water starts flowing through the wall, and it kills this person. Is he chayiv? Is he a retzeach? Or is he not a retzeach? So again, he never stabbed the person, he never put a bullet through his head. He did two maises. He tied the person down, and then he punctured a hole in the wall that caused water to kill him. So is he a groma? Or is he a real retzeach? So the Gemara, giri di dehu am chayiv. We view him as a regular retzeach, he's going to be chayiv. What's this lashon giri di deh? It's important. Meaning, even though he didn't directly hit him, that's pasha. That in and of itself is not a reason for him not to be a retzeach. Giri didei, the mashal would be, if somebody throws a chet, somebody throws something at somebody and kills him, it's pasha, he's a retzeach. His hand never touched his, right? There was no direct contact. Who cares? But it happened machmas koichai. That's Pasha, you're going to be chai. The question over here, is that even considered Giri Didei or not? Is it like a Zorak Chetz or not? So the Gemara says you're going to be chai. But Hani Mili, this is only true, Bekoyach Rishon. Avo Bekoyach Sheni, Groma Ba'almohu. If it was Koyach Rishon, you're going to be chai. If it's Koyach Sheni, not. Says Rashi, what does Koyach Rishon, Koyach Sheni mean? So to simplify it, Koyach Rishon means if the person was right next to the wall. So as soon as he punctured the hole in the wall, the water came out and boom, killed him. But let's say he was fire. Let's say he was 100 feet from the wall, 500 feet from the wall. And eventually the water got him and killed him. So that's already considered koyach sheni because the water has to travel a little bit. It's going to touch things before it gets them. Koyach sheni, in that case, he's going to be punched. An interesting gemara. If somebody takes a rock and he throws it up, the holcha and it lands, let's start him. So it didn't land exactly where he was standing. It landed 10 feet from where he was, 100 feet from where he was. The horgan, it killed somebody. Chayev, you're going to be chayev. So even though the tsrur killed the person on its way down, still you're going to be chayev. Now what's the chiddush? If it killed him on the way down, why would you think that should be different? Because you can argue maybe at that point it's not his koyach anymore that's killing. It's the law of gravity. It's Newton's law of gravity. That is what at that point is causing this person to die. So when gravity kills, do we look at it as if I killed, or maybe it's not my koyach? Now I'm a gromo, that's pashut. But the question is, are you a regular etzech that you're going to be chayav misa or not? So that was Rav Papa's halacha. Rav Papa said, if somebody throws a tsror lemaila and it goes letzadim, you're going to be chayav. Now Rashi makes the obvious deek in what Rav Papa said. Rav Papa said that the only time you're going to be chayav is if it went letzadim. So I threw it up and it landed 10 feet from where I was standing. What if I would throw it up and it would land exactly where I was standing? Zok Rashi, avalim nafla noichicha, exactly where he is, v'harga pater. Then it's potter, shit that you would be potter. Delav koichayu, elihi chayzeres laretz me'elev. In that case, it's poshut that you would be potter. Let's speak it outside first. Why? Because over there, it's for sure gravity. The whole shaila was where it doesn't land exactly where you're standing. It lands somewhere else. What does that mean? If the only force that was causing this to go down was the force of gravity, it would just land. It would just plop down where it is. From the fact that it's traveling on an angle, that means that your koyach is playing a role in where it's going. So really what there is a combination of forces. There's a taruvus over here. So you have, on the one hand, my koyach. On the other hand, you have gravity. That's why it's traveling downwards. So that was Rav Papa Shaila. And that's what Rav Papa said, Chayev. Why are you Chayev? Why you Chayev? My tani b'shem dekoychayu. But he said, you koychu teisa lilo, you keep on going up. Because my force, what did I do? I arched it for it to go up. So why is it traveling? So he told me, Lav koychu teisa l'tachas. Elamai, you're going to tell me his koych is not playing a role, then why doesn't it just land straight down where it is? Ela koych kochashu. You have to say it is a combination of koychas. You have my koych. You also have the law of gravity. The combination of koiches is enough for the person to be chayiv misa. Essentially, we're saying a chiddush that even though it's a koich kochush, still you're going to be chayiv. Turn about another halachi. What if 10 people went over to somebody and they beat him up? 10 people with 10 makolos, 10 baseball bats, and they literally killed a person. Says the Bryce. Bein bevasachas, whether all 10 people were hitting him at the same time, bein bevasachazeh, or if one hit him and then the next one, p'turim, you're going to be pot. Incidentally, if this Gemara sounds familiar, bavakama daf yud. So this is of Perik Arba Ovis fame. Either way, so the Tanakama, the Bryce says, everybody's going to be pot. So even though the 10 people together killed him, that now Rashi speaks out, it's poshit, only one person can be chayev. The pasuk says the ish kiyaka kol nefesh adam mayisumas. One person could be chayiv. You can never convict two people of murder. Not in the bezdin shvichas damim, misas bezdin sayif sense. There's no such thing. So it has to be one murderer. There is no one murderer. 10 people killed him. And being that 10 people killed him, it's for that reason everyone's going to be potter. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira said it's not true. If they killed him bevas achas, you're right. But bezachaseh, if the first one hit him, then the second one, ha'achrin, the last person, the makkah v'patish, chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. But then Shakir, that's misasa, because he's the end of the day, the one that killed him. Rabbi Yechon,
he wasn't dead, and they kept on hitting him.
What's that?
How do you know, man number seven, he was dead, and they kept on hitting
okay,
him?
Okay, so you have to know, that's true. I mean, it's a technicality, but the point is, if we know for sure who's the last person that dealt the final fatal blow, that's the person that's going to be chayiv misa. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "V'shnei mikra echadarshu." That the makar to the two respective shittas in the price is based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'ish ki yaka kol nefesh adam." One of the pasukim in the Torah that says that a ritzeh is chayiv misa. Rabbanan tzavri, the rabbanan with medayik. The pasuk says, "V'ish ki yaka kol nefesh adam." What does kol mean? Ad ikka kol nefesh. You have to kill the entire nefesh. And over here, the 10th person didn't kill the kol nefesh. The first nine people did 90% of the work. He just did the last 10%. It's not kol nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda b'Seir Sover, kol nefesh, no. He also darshaned the word kol, but he darshaned it exactly the opposite. Kol dehu nefesh. As long as there's a little bit of nefesh, that's enough for him to be dimer etzech. Amar Rav, hakol moedim, everybody agrees. B'hirgas ha-treifa shupat. If somebody would kill a treifa, everybody agrees he's pot. So what's a treifa? So loosely translated, a treifa is somebody that can't live yud beis chaydesh. Treifas, of course, is discussed at length in Perek, Elu Treifas and Mesach Deschulin, because the laws of treifas affect animals, but they also affect human beings. A human being can be treif. A human being can be a treifa as well. A treifa is someone that loyaleinu is terminally ill, where the doctors say he doesn't have more than yud beis chaydesh to live. That person is considered a treifa. Treifa has a very special place in halacha, because regarding certain areas in halacha, we look at him as if he's not alive right now. We look at him as a gadrik tala. We look at him as if he's already dead. But what's important, specifically for this sugya, is that not every person that the doctors say don't have more than 12 months to live is considered a treifa. A treifa is someone that has something very specific wrong with him, as a result of which he won't be able to live yud beis chaydesh. Namely, he has a physical thing where it's because of that physical mum that we know. So whether it's one of this, something in the esophagus, Rashi says, or there's something in his brain. So, you know, unfortunately, we can use our imagination, but there's something very physical inside the person's guf that's telling us and the doctors that there's no way he's going to be able to live yud beis chaydesh. So if somebody kills a treifa, he's potter. Even though the pasuk says v'ishkiyaka kol nefesh adam mois yumas, but a treifa is viewed as if he's not alive already today. He's a dead man today, and it's for that reason if somebody kills him, he's not going to be chayiv misa. Begoises b'dei shamayim, says the Gemara, everyone agrees shu chayiv. What if someone's a goises? And again, a goises is also someone that the doctors are saying, not only won't he live yud beis chaydesh, could be he's not even going to live another 3 days. But he's not a treifa. It's not like there's something inside his guf, he has a physical mum that's causing him to die. He's just, his vitals are all upside down, and the doctors are saying, just based on the way he's going, unless this fever doesn't break, right? Back in the day, there's no way he's going to live. So he's a goises, bidei shamayim in the sense that he's suffering from some machla. This is all coming directly from, it's not something that somebody personally did to him. Everyone agrees he's going to be chayiv. So again, if somebody kills a treifa, everybody agrees he's pot. If somebody kills everybody agrees he's chai. Loi nechleku, what was the machlik with him saying the chachamim? Ela begoises bidei adam, where somebody was a goises bidei adam, like in this case, nine people beat him up, and now he's a goises bidei adam. And now the tenth person went ahead and killed him. So you're going to be chayiv a potter. The Rabbanan said potter, Rabbi Meir said chayiv. Marmad, I'm the treifa. The Rabbanan said potter because they held he was like a treifa. Just like if somebody kills a treifa, he's potter. If somebody kills this goises bidei adam, he's going to be potter as well. Marmad, I'm the goises bidei shamayim. Whereas Rabbi Meir said, I think the goises bidei adam is like the goises bidei shamayim. Goises bidei adam is not a treifa. It's not like he has something that made him terminally ill. He's a goises. He's just lying on his deathbed because he was beaten up pretty badly. So what's the difference if he's a goises because of a fever or he's a goises because somebody beat him up? At the end of the day, he's a goises. So the Gemara, Amanda Madame Le Treifa, my time of the Madame Le Goises Bidei Shemayim. The one that was Madame Le Treifa, the Chachamim that said he's potter, why do you compare more to a goises Bidei Shemayim? So the Goises Bidei Shemayim, Lo Yisavad Bein Maisa. Goises Bidei Shemayim, there's nothing physical. He's just running a fever, for example. Hi, Yisavad Bein Maisa. This person, something happened to him. The Treifa has a Maisa, there's something physical inside him that's causing him not to be able to live more than a certain amount of time. This person also has something physical that happened to him. He was beaten up. It's Avid Bei Maisa. So he felt it was more similar to a treifa. Hayrga treifa potter. So too, if you kill this goises b'dei adam, you're going to be potter. Umand b'dam b'lei the goises b'dei shemayim. Who did b'mesayru who compared him to a goises b'dei shemayim? My time l'bedam b'lei the treifa. Why didn't compare him to a treifa? Because treifa machtechis simonim. Holy machtechis. At the end of the day, he's not a treifa. I understand he's a goises b'dei adam. It was this Avid Bei Maisa. He's not a treifa. A treifa is terminally ill. This person's not terminally ill. So at the end of the day, I can't compare him to a treifa. Either way, at first glance, you learn this Gemara, so the Gemara said two biurim in the machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda b'Seir in the Chacham. First, the Gemara said they're arguing how to read the pasuk. V'ishkiyake kol nefesh adam mois yumas. Do you say kol adam means you have to kill the entire person? Or does kol adam mean kol dehu adam? As long as you kill a little bit of the person, that's enough for you to be chayiv. So it sounds like they're arguing how to read the word kol adam. Then the Gemara says that, no, they're arguing about something else. They're arguing, should we compare a goises bidei adam, which is the case, to a treifa, or to a goises bidei shamayim? So they're arguing in svara, or they're arguing posek. It's a Tosfos already. Second Tosfos on the Yomid already muches. So again, that's for when you learn it with your Chavrusa first Seder. Tani, Tana Kamid, Rav Sheish said there was a Tano who said over the following price in front of Rav Sheish. Ishkiyake, Kol Nefesh, Adam. It says in the Pasik, this Pasik, the Ishkiyake, Kol Lahavi, Hamakis, Chaver, Ve'ema Gedei Lahamas. If somebody hits his friend, but it was Ema Gedei Lahamas, he punched him in the nose. He couldn't kill him. Ubo Achav Amisa, and then somebody else comes and kills him. Shehu Chayev. The second person is Chayev. Faith to Gemara. He needed a Tana to tell this to Rav Sheish. What did he say? If Reuven goes over to Shimon, he hits him. Ain't by Kidei Lahamas. He hurt him, but he couldn't kill him. Then somebody else comes and he kills him. The second one is Chayev. Why would you think not? Says the Gemara, you're right. That wasn't what he told him. Ella, he told him, Yesh by Kidei Lahamas. The first person hit him and he could have killed him, but he didn't die. Uva achavem misoy, and then somebody else came and finished the job. Meaning, being that the first blow was Kidei Lahamas, he did some damage. It's like the case of Rabbi Yehuda ben Meir and the Chachamim, where nine people did 90% of the job. So he's just literally, he has 10% of him that's still going. How do you know Yechayev? That was what he told him. It's learned out from Fish, Viyaka Kol Nefesh. Where do you see it in the Drasha? Called is called the hoof, the stomach, Rudav ben Meseira. He was coming to say that Allah is like Rudav ben Meseira, that even though he's a Geisis Bidei Adam, we compare the Geisis Bidei Adam to the Geisis Bidei Shemayim, and just like if somebody kills a Geisis Bidei Shemayim, he's going to be Chayiv, so if somebody kills somebody, in this case, he's going to be Chayiv as well. So just to clarify the Gemara that we just learned, that's Poshet, and this is what the Gemara is trying to say. If there's a person he's an old man, he's not well, he's a shtickle, a Geisis, if somebody kills him, he's a Ritzich. You're not allowed to kill a person like that, even though at this point, he's almost dead. Doesn't work that way. If he's alive and you kill him, you're a ritzeh. Stating that, there is a concept of a treifa. A treifa is somebody that has a mum, he's terminally ill. You have to know what mum would render somebody a treifa. It's a whole sugya in Masechtas Chulin, a whole perek in Shas. If somebody kills a treifa has a special place in Halacha, where Chazal viewed him as a gavrik tala. If somebody kills a treifa, he's not going to be considered. He's not going to be considered a sheifich dam. The Gemara Shaila was, what if 10 people together beat somebody up? 9 of the people beat him pretty bad, but he was still alive. He was to the point where we can view him as a geisis, but he was a geisis bidei adam. He's a little bit more similar to the treifa in the sense that it was this avid bei maisa. So do we say we view him like a treifa, and the 10th person that kills him will be potter, or not? Mar medamile le treifa, mar medamile le geisis bidei shamayim. Amar Rava, another halacha. Ha'hoirik is a treifa, potter. A treifa, shaharek bifnei bezdin. But what about a treifa that kills? If a treifa kills somebody, is he chayiv a potter? Zok Gemara, it depends. If he killed b'fnei bezdin, he's going to be chayiv. Shalei b'fnei bezdin. If the treifa killed shalei b'fnei bezdin, potter. Zok Gemara. B'fnei bezdin chayiv. If he killed in front of bezdin, he's chayiv. Dechsivu b'yarta rami kerbecha. So if bezdin sees somebody killed, bezdin has an obligation to act upon it. So bezdin has to take this person, and they have to deal with him. They kill him. Shalei b'fnei bezdin. If, however, the treifa killed shalei b'fnei bezdin, he's going to be potter. The reason is the havila edus she'iyat yochel azima, because the edim that are going to testify in bezdin saying I saw the treifa kill is going to be edus she'iyat yochel azima v'chol edus she'iyat yochel azima loyichma edus. It's not an edus. In other words, Rava said a gevaldig chiddush. He said a treifa that kills, you can't prosecute. It's not possible to prosecute this person in the conventional way. What's the conventional way of prosecuting somebody? Two Edom would walk into Bezdin, they would say, we saw the treifa kill, we saw this person kill. Cross-examine the Edom, you follow the steps as listed in the Mishnayos and the Gemaras and the Masechet Sanhedrin. And if they decided at the end, Savrai Maronon, L'chayiv Misa, right, you go through the process and we decide, is this person Chayiv Misa or is this person not Chayiv Misa? Says the Gemara that this Edos, if they're testifying about a treifa, is dead on arrival. Because we know that Edos has to be Yochel Azima. What does Yochel Azima mean? It means that it has to be subject to the laws of Azama. So if two Edom walk into Bezdin, two other Edom say that you lied, because Imanu Yisim about complaining. So the Allah is Vasisim Lekash, Azama Lassis Lachin. The first two Edom get punished. What's the punishment? We do to them exactly what they wanted to do to the person that they were testifying about. So let's say these two Edom that said that we saw a treifa kill somebody turn out to be Edom Zayimim. Could you give them Kash Azama? No. Because they wanted to kill a treifa. And Rava just said, Ahoyer gets a treifa's potter. So they can't be Edom Zayimim. If they can't be Edom Zayimim, so it comes out their Edus is Iyat Yochel Azima. If the Edus is Iyat Yochel Azima, there's no way for them to be Chayiv. But says Rava, and this is the next Chiddush, that's all true if it happens Shalei B'fnei Bezdin. Where the only way Bezdin can prosecute this treifa is in the conventional way, by hearing Edus, Eidus is not good because it's Yati Yochel Azim. Treifesh Harag is going to be pot. But let's say the Ritzicha happened in front of Bezdin. Bezdin now doesn't have to be Makabal Eidus. If Bezdin doesn't have to be Makabal Eidus, they can kill the person without getting involved in Eidus Yati Yochel Azim. Because they don't have to be Makabal Eidus. What gives them the right to do it? Ubiarta Rabbi Kirbacha. Bezdin has an obligation to get rid of all bad in the world, which we saw earlier in the Masechta. This governed a lot of the laws in Masechta Sanhedrin. Right? We spoke a lot about how Bezdin had a balance. Ubiarta Rabbi Kirbacha, Vitzilu Ha'eda, Viahaftal Riacha Kamaycha. There's a few psukim that tell Bezdin how to go about their business. But one of them was Ubiarta Rabbi Kirbacha. So Bezdin sees a Reitzeach. This Ritzech can't be prosecuted because it's a technicality. It's Eidus Shiach Talach Azima. So what they do is they take it. So essentially, Rava said three chedushim. Number one, Rava said, Harigas HaTreifas Potter. Number two, Rava said, it's for that reason, Treifas Shaharag, Shaloi Bifnei Bezdin is going to be Potter. Because the Edom that would testify about the Treifa, you can never be Mazim then. Because if you found them to be liars, you wouldn't be able to give them Kasha Zaman because they were trying to be a Harigas HaTreifa. And a harag is a treifas potter. A third chiddush she said was that a treifas shaharag b'fnei bezdin will be chayev because their bezdin doesn't have to be makabel edus and bezdin can prosecute him based on the pasuk of uviyarta rami kirbechav. Amar Rava, same exact halacha in a different context. Haroides a treifa. Rashi says this is mishkav zacher. This was a treifa that was a zacher and somebody was reveya this treifa zacher chayev. Treifa sh'rova b'fnei bezin. What about a treifa himself who was over mishkav zacher? So if it happened in front of bezin, he's chayiv. Shaloi b'fnei bezin, he's going to be potter. Zok timar b'fnei bezin chayiv. Dichsevu b'yarta rami kirbecha. Shaloi b'fnei bezin potter. Da'avalei edesh yati yochel azimah. Fake the Gemara, Sulamali. This is exactly what Rava said. Hainu ach, it's the same exact halacha. You're right. As it relates to the latter two chedushim, there really is no major chiddush here. But the chiddush is haroives a treifa tzrichle. You know what the chiddush is? If somebody's roiva a treifa, it's a chiddush that he's chayev. Meaning, if somebody is mishkav zacher with a treifa, it's a chiddush that he is considered a sheichevim zacher, and we're going to kill him. Why? Ma'u the tema. I would have thought, lahavi kamanda mishamish meis, being that a treifa sometimes in Allah is viewed as a meis, so maybe it's as if this person was mishamish a meis, vili poter, because if someone's mishamish, a dead person, he's not chayv. Kamash malon, that with regards to this halacha, we don't look at the treifa as if he's meis, because Tashmish, Bi'ila is all about Hana, and this person at the end of the day had Hana. The Mishum Hana, Huva, Islay Hana. So it's true in certain areas in Halacha, the Treif is viewed as a mace, but not when it comes to this Halacha. When it comes to this Halacha, we look at him as a Chai, we don't look at him as a mace. That's the Chiddush. You're right, the Eidah Sheyat Yachal Azimah, the Biyakta Rami Kibrecha, that Rava wasn't saying a Chiddush. He already said it with regards to Treifa Shaharagas HaNefesh. That wasn't the Chiddush. The Chiddush was that Haroives HaTreifa Chayef. Whereas Haroives HaTreifa's Potter, Haroives HaTreifa's Chayef. What's the difference? With regards to killing a Treifa, we look at the Treifa as if he's dead. With regards to being Mizana with a Treifa, we look at the Treifa as if he's alive. What's the difference? Because when it comes to killing, you have to look at him in terms of, is he viewed as a live person, dead person? The fact that we know he doesn't have more than a certain amount of time to live, that in Halacha tells us that we look at him as if he's not alive already today. But as it relates to Tashmish, as it relates to Bila, that's all about Hanah. And Lamai said this Hanah right now, just like if he was a regular live person, the fact that he doesn't have Yud Beis Chodesh to live is neither here nor there. Another Halacha, Me'inyan Le'inyan. Va'amar Rava, Edim Shehi, Edu B'treifa, two Edim that said Edos about a treifa. They said that we saw this treifa kill v'huzmu, and they were found to be zayimim. What's the halacha? Einerog. We just said that. Why can't they be killed? Because it's edus. Because they were trying to kill a treifa. Being that they were trying to kill a treifa, that's pashut. Edei treifa shehuzmu. But what about edei treifa themselves that were found to be zayimim? So this is where the edim themselves were the treifas. So two people walk into Bezdin, Reuven and Shimon, and they were both treifas. And they say that we saw somebody kill someone, or we saw someone be Oved Avodah Zarah, be Michal Shabbos. We know that this person is Chayv Misa. And now they were found to be Edom Zoymimin Nerog. They're going to get killed. Why not? They were trying to kill somebody unlawfully. The person they were trying to kill is not the treifa. They're the treifas in this story. So there's no reason they shouldn't be killed. Rav Ashi said, Achap, afilu eide treifa shehuzmu. Even eide treifa themselves that are found to be zayvimin, ein erogin. You know why? Lafisha einon bezayvim zayvimin. It's not possible. You know why it's not possible? Because in order for Reuven and Shimon, who are the eide treifa, that said eides that we saw somebody do something for which he's chayv misa, In order for them to become Edom Zoymin, what would happen? Two other Edom would have to walk into Beis Din, Levi and Yehuda, and they would have to say, Imanu ha-yisem b'ma complaining to the Edei Treifa. Here's the problem. That Edus of Levi and Yehuda is Edus Shati Yachav Azimah. Because what would happen if two other Edom would be Mazim then? Yisach and Zvulun would walk into Beis Din. And they would tell Levi and Yehuda, how could you say that you saw Reuven and Shimon with you, thus rendering them Edom Zoymim in? You yourselves were with us, but not complaining. Imanu Yisim, but not complaining. So what would happen now to Levi and Yehuda? You can't give them Kasha Zama. Why can't you give them Kasha Zama? Because they were trying to kill Reuven and Shimon, who themselves were treifos, so they would be viewed as a hirugas a treifa, and a hirugas a treifa's potter. So it comes out then that Levi and Yehuda's edus is edesh ati yachal azima. If Levi and Yehuda's edus is edesh ati yachal azima, then Reuven and Shimon's edus is edesh ati yachal azima. Because if you can't knock out, if Reuven and Shimon, because Levi and Yehuda can't be knocked out, Yisachar's bullet at the end of the day, Reuven and Shimon say, this is Eidah Shat Yochel Azim, Rav Ashi said a great chap, that Lefisha Einam B'Zayim Me'Zayim, if you do the math, Mon of Shach Eidah Trefa Shehuzmu Ein Nerog. And Zok the Gemara Vamar Rav, a short Trefa Shaharag. What about a short that choices? Bava Kama, a short that choices, and the short itself was a Trefa. Chai, he's going to be Chai. V'shar Shal Adam Trefa Shaharag Pata. But let's say a person who's a Trefa owns a Shar, and his Shar choices and kills, Dir Dalach is the Shar is going to be Pata. So if the Shar itself is a Trefa, there's no reason the shar shouldn't be chayef. If the shar belonged to a treifa, then the shar is going to be chayef. Zok the Gemara, my time, oh my crow, shar yisak of a gamal of yumas. We know that if a shar kills somebody, so the owner of the shar is chayef misa bidei shamayim. But we compare the skila, the misa sa shar, to the misa sa baylan. Kalechad agreed to be a gamal of yumas, agreed to be a shar yisak. V'kalechad lo agreed to be a gamal of yumas, agreed to be a shar yisak. So the only time we say a shar yisak is if we're also saying v'gamal of yumas. In this case, there's no v'gamal of yumas because he's dead already. Because the treif is viewed as if he's already dead. So being that you don't have v'gamal of yumas, semenelo, you don't have a shar Yisakal either. So a shar of a treifa that kills is going to be potter. Why? Because in order to kill the shar, it has to be hashar yisakel v'gam bal of yumas. You have to be able to fulfill that entire pasuk. And here you can't fulfill the whole pasuk. Because v'gam bal of yumas, you can't fulfill on a person that is dead already. How can you say v'gam bal of yumas? So if you can't be mekayim the second half of the pasuk, v'gam bal of yumas, you can't be mekayim v'hashar yisakel. V'ashi yomar, no, I feel a shar treifa nami shar potter. Even a shar treifa that kills is going to be potter. V'ashi took it a step further. Meaning Rava said, if the shar itself was a treifa and it killed, chayef. If the shar belonged to a treifa, you're going to be potter. V'ashi said, even if the shar itself was a treifa, you're going to be potter. My taima, kiven di ilu bailam habi, tiri shar nami potter. He took the same exact hekish, kemises ha-bailam kachmises ha-shar, and he said that just like if the bailam was a treifa, and the shar would kill, the shar would be potter. Or if the bailam was a treifa and the bailam would kill, the bailam would be potter. So too, if the shar itself is a treifa, and it shtoises, you're going to be potter. The question is just how far to take the hekesh. Rav said it only if the bailam is a treifa, so you can't be mekayim v'gambol of yumos, so then you're not mekayim asher yisakel either. Rav Ashi said, if you're comparing misas abailam to misas asher, I'll take it a step further. Then if the bailam is a treifa, so the bailam himself can't be killed when he's a treifa, so too the shor itself you're not going to kill if the shor is a treifa. So before we go weiter, just one ha'ara. So we had a lot of chidushim in this Gemara, a lot here, a lot to sink our teeth into. But just one ha'ara, and that is the Gemara said that a treifa shaharagas hanefesh pata. Why? Because it's edesh yati yachal azima, and edesh yati yachal azima lo yishma edesh. Stating that, said the Gemara, that's only true if the treifa killed shalei b'fnei bezin, where the only way to prosecute the treifa is in the conventional method. You'd have to be mekabel edim, and you can't be mekabel edim. But let's say the treifa killed b'fnei bezdin, then you don't have to be mekabel edus. Then we can kill the treifa based on ubiyarta hara mikir becha. So if you can kill the treifa without being mekabel edus, then there's no reason the treifa shouldn't be chay. Meaning really a treifa should be chay. It's chay v'mitzvahs. There's no reason we shouldn't kill the treifa. It's just that there's a technicality. It's always going to be edus shati yachal azima. So that's only a problem. We have to be mekabel edus. But to the extent that you don't have to be mekabel edus, why not? Because Bezdin saw it, so Bezdin can kill him without being mekabel edus. So Rava was saying a gevaldige chiddush. Rava was saying that if Bezdin sees something happen, Bezdin can act upon what they saw without being mekabel edus. At first glance, you would say, no, there's a process that needs to be followed. Edim, Kabbalah's Edus, cross-examination. You see, no. That's only if Bezdin doesn't know. At the end of the day, it's all about giving Beis Din the information they need in order to be able to do what they need to do. Ordinarily, al pi shnayim eidim yakum davar. But that's only if Beis Din themselves didn't see it. But to the extent that Beis Din saw it, of course it's not going to be a problem. Now, what's the first sugi in Shas that comes to mind? The sugi that everyone's learned before. Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof Ha'am Adez, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof Av. The Mishnah says, Ra'u Beis Din v'chol Yisrael. The Mishnah talks about where Beis Din was outside and they saw the new moon. So, could Beis Din go ahead now and be Mekadosh to Levana? Or not. So it's Mavur in the Mishnah, the whole sugi over there, without going to the sugi, like Teshmiya G'dayla Miriya, that there is an idea that Beis Din themselves could be Mekadosh Levana. I mean, they don't have to be Mekadosh. But the Gemara says, Leme Masis, look, Rabbi Akiva, this Mishnah that says that Beis Din can be Mekadosh the new moon, be Mekadosh the Chodesh, without actually accepting testimony is l'churin, not like Rabbi Akiva. The time we learned in a braisa, Sanhedrin shero echad jaharag asanefesh, if the Sanhedrin saw somebody kill somebody else, so miktsasu nasen dayin, u miktsasu nasen dayonim. So that's poshut, that the same person that's going to be an aid can't be a dayin. Some of them can be aidim, the others can be dayonim, they can go prosecute. Divi Reb Tarf. Rabbi Akiva says, kulam nasen aidim. Once all the aidim witnessed, once all the Beis Din saw Reuven kill Shimon, at that point they're aiden. Once you're an aid, ene dasa dayan. Meaning you can't be an aid and a dayan. It's not possible. If you saw something happen, you can now not sit on a jury that's going to go and process. If you saw it, you can't be on the jury. You're disqualified from being there. You have to be somewhat objective in order for you to be a dayan. But to the extent that you saw it, you're knocked out. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that Beis Din, Shero, as a Chodesh, there's a concept of maybe being able to go ahead and be Mekadosh the Chodesh. Leibim Masis and Volker Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva said that if Sanhedrin saw somebody kill somebody, they're all Edim now. They ain't Edim Nasadayim. Zok to Gemara. Fill the time Rabbi Akiva. Atkan, come Rabbi Akiva Hassan. When Rabbi Akiva says, Allah, but the name of Fashas. Drachmana, Amar, Veshafto Eda, Vitzilo Eda. Because it's Allah, Vitzilo Eda. We all know what that means now. Vikiman de Chazu, being that they themselves saw this Ritzicha take place, the Kotel Nafshal, or Motzi Chazil Eschus. It's not possible from at this point to be able to be Melamed Schus. If they can't be Melamed Schus, they won't be able to be Mekayim Vitzilo Eda. For that reason, that's qualified from being dayon. Abul Hocha. But as it relates to Kiddush HaChodesh, I feel Rabbi Akiva Moida, even Rabbi Akiva is going to be Moida, that there's no problem. Freak the Shagasai, yay. What's going on over here? See, I have a Gemara over here. Let's focus on Shita's Rabbi Akiva. It's just simpler. Rabbi Akiva said that if Sanhedrin saw somebody kill somebody else, they're all Aiden, ain't Aiden Nasadayan. There's no way for us to kill this person anymore. What happened to our Gemara? The Gemara said, Shreifesh Haragas HaNefesh, there's no way to be Mekabel Eidos, because the Eidos will be Eidos at Yochel Azima. But if Beis Din saw it, there's a new din of a Biarta Rami Kerbech. How do you stem the two sugyas? How do you stem Sanhedrin Ayin Ches and Rosh Hashanah Chavav? And the Emes is the Kash of the Kash of Reb Tarfin also. Because what did Reb Tarfin say? Miktsasa Nasin Eidim, U Miktsasa Nasin Dayanim. Now, in our case, that's not an option for Miktsasim to be Nasin Eidim. Because you can't be an Eid. That's the whole problem. The Eidus is always going to be Eidus She'at Yochel Azima. And still it wasn't an issue. Why wasn't it an issue? Because Ubiyarta Rami Kirbecha. So if there's a new concept of Ubiyarta Rami Kirbecha, then what's the problem with Ein Eid Nasadayin? How do you understand the two sugis? You have two sugis that at first glance would seem to blatantly contradict each other. Sanhedrin Ayin Chesem and Aleph, Rosh Hashanah Dab Chavavah and Aleph. Says the Turi Evan, the Shagisar Yodover Niflo. He said, what Rabbi Akiva say? What's the reason that if somebody himself saw somebody else kill somebody, he's now possible from being a Dayin? Because the Torah says, V'shaftu ha'eda, V'hitzilu ha'eda, V'kivan d'chazyu d'katal nasha, being that he saw somebody kill somebody, le'matzi chazu le'schusa, it's not possible from at this point for him to be able to melam etzchus. It's not possible. How's he going to ever see the tzad tzchus? Right? It's the same idea where if all the Sanhedrin said, Zakai, the Bezishol, everybody said Zakai, what was that? Or everybody said Chayev, what was that locha? He was Zakai. Why? Because there was no Vitzilu Eder. You didn't have the Shakla Vatayra. You didn't have the give and take. He ends up being Zakai. So that's the problem. The problem is there's no way for us to be Malamet Chos. You can't be Mekayim Vitzilu Eder. Says the Shagisari, our sugi is talking about a Trefa. A Trefa is anyways a Gavri Katala. There's no Vitzilu Eder when it comes to a Trefa. Vitzilu Eder is a special privilege where we're going to go way out of our way. We're going to stretch our imagination. We're going to bend the truth. We're going to do everything we could possibly do to try to save this person. But being this person is anyways a treifa. There's no chiyuv. There's no obligation of Yitzilo Eidah. If there's no obligation of Yitzilo Eidah, in Meila, you can go ahead and kill him. And in Chanami, there is an idea of Yachter Rami Kirbecha, but there's also an idea of Yitzilo Eidah. This is the age-old balancing act that Bezin always had to make. But that's always when it comes to a regular person. So what wins? What trumps? It's Yitzilo Eidah. But in our sugya, there is no Yitzilo Eidah, because we're dealing with a treifa, and there's no Yitzilo Eidah by a treifa. So if there's no Yitzilo Eidah when we're dealing with a treifa, all you have is a Yachter Rami Kirbecha. It's for that reason he's going to be killed. Mitzvah Tof Tess brings the kasha from the Turi Evan, and he says that the emes is this kasha of the Shagas Arya is really totally in a big, big machloikis. And that is the Ramban in his Pirush HaLaTorah brings from Sadia Goyen a very big kiddush, that even though we know that Dine Nefashis is Bechof Gimel, Dine Nefashis required a Bezesh Chof Gimel, what it means is that the Dayanim that we're going to prosecute, that we're going to sit and deliberate, is this person Chayev or not Chayev, had to be Chof Gimel. What it doesn't mean is that when the two Edom would walk into Beis Din and they would say Eidos, they had to testify in front of 23 people. Meaning the Kabbalah's Eidos of Dinei Nefashis was treated like a Kabbalah's Eidos of Dinei Mamonis. It was Bifnei Shloisha. So when the two Edom were going to walk into Beis Din, they were going to testify, you didn't need a Beis Din Shachav Gimel, you just needed a Beis Din Shal Gimel. What does it mean, Dinei Nefashis Bichav Gimel? Three Dayanim would hear the testimony, they would now go talk to their Chevra, tell them what they heard, together they would deliberate, and 23 Dayanim would vote, and they would decide. Chayev or Zaka. But you didn't need 23 people to be Makabal Deis, you only needed three. That's what Sadi Goyen said. Ramban and Pirush HaTorah argues, the Ramban says that no, that Dinei Nefashis Chof Gimel means he needed 23 Dayanim to be Makabal Deis. Says the Menches Chinuch, Gevaldik. The Gemara was Mechadish a new patent over here. The Gemara said that a treifa shaharag, it can't be Makabal Eidos, because Eidos Shati Yochel Azimah. But if Bezdin saw it, you can kill him. Why? Ubiyakti Rami Kirbecha. How many Dayanim would have to see this treifa kill in order for Bezdin to be able to kill because of Ubiyakti Rami Kirbecha? Says the Mechas Chenech, it's going to be Tolin Machlech, it's Rab Sadia Goyen and the Rambah. If you need 23 Dayanim to be Makabal the Eidos by Dinei Nefashis, you would need 23 Dayanim to see the treifa kill. If you only need 3 Dayanim to be Makabal the Eidos, you'd only need 3 Dayanim to see it in order for them to be able to prosecute him. Oy bazoy zok der, it's pasha. According to Reb Sadia Goyen, that you only need 3. So when the Gemara says that treifa shaharig es hanefesh b'fnei Bezdin, what does it mean b'fnei Bezdin? B'fnei Bezdin shel sholosh. 3 Dayanim sort. The 3 Dayanim saw, they're going to go back now, they're going to tell 20 of their friends, put together a Bezin Shachav Gimel, they're going to paskin. What's the problem with V'Yitzilu Eidah? There's no issue. They can't be matzel, I hear. So 3 people can't be Mekayim V'Yitzilu Eidah. But the other 20 can be Mekayim V'Yitzilu Eidah because they never saw it. You know when it's a problem? It's only going to be a problem if you hold that the Kabbalah's Eidos of Dinei Nefashis had to be in front of 23, which means that when the Gemara says treifa shaharagas hanefesh b'fnei Bezdin, it means all 23 saw. If all 23 saw, now you can't be Mekayim v'Yitzilu Eid anymore. That's why it's going to be an issue. So Zokta Mechas Chinuch, that if the Turi Evan asked this Bamba Kasha, and he doesn't know how to reconcile the sugyas, you know what you must say? In order to reconcile, you must see Reb Sadia Goyen was right. That's the way you reconcile the sugyas. The Hiraya Gedoya Ledivrei Hagoyen Ubasi Rak L'Oyer. That's how Mechas Chinuch finishes his piece. Either way, Gevaldik, he brought a Raya tucked away in this Gemara right here, classic Minchas Chinuch, where he brought a Raya from this Gemara here to Reb Sadia Goyen Shita, that when we say that Dinei Nefashis is Bebezin Shalchav Gimel, it just means that you need 23 Dayan to prosecute the case, but it doesn't mean that the Kabbalah's Eidos had to be in front of 23. So the Mishnah continued, and the Mishnah said that if somebody kills somebody, going back to the Mishnah, Ayin Vavam Ibez, so if somebody kills somebody, Be'evan or Be'barzel, or if he dunked them into water or into fire, in a way that he was Einu Yochel Alis Misham, he's going to be Chai. If you dunked him in a way where he was Yochel Alis Misham, you're going to be Pot. Then the Mishnah said, what if somebody incites an animal to go after a person, he kills him, Potter. You're a grama, but you're going to be potter. Hishich by Yisanochosh, the last case of the mission was, if somebody took a snake, and he took the snake and he put it on somebody, he literally took this snake, this poisonous snake, and he put it on a person, the snake bit the person and killed him. Yud mechayiv, the chacham and poitram. What's the machloikis? Amr Rav Acha bar Yaakov, kishitim tzoloimer. If you sit down and think about it, the machloikis is as follows. Different Rav Yehuda, who is the one that said chayiv, he holds eres nachash bein shinav u'oimei. The poison that the snake has inside of him that kills, it's literally between his teeth. It's right there. It's clear and present. It's for that reason. Lefichach makish b'sayv v'nachash patas. If you take a snake, you put it on someone, it's like you stabbed the person. The nachash is right there. So the makish, the person that took the snake and put it on the person, he's chayiv. The snake itself, he's like the sword. He's an innocent bystander. He himself is potter. But the chachamim who say that you're potter in that case, they hold eres nachash me'atzmei humaki. That where's the eres of the nachash? It's actually inside of him. Shemais. The snake, the poison of the snake is inside of him. He has to cough it up in order for him to kill. The fichas, if somebody would take a snake and put it on somebody, the nachash itself is the one that's viewed to be the killer. And if the nachash himself is the one that's viewed to be the killer, the nachash is the one that's going to get skila. But as it relates to the person himself, the person is going to be potter. New Mishnah. New sugya. So in order to understand the next Mishnah, you have to be familiar with two as we'll see in tomorrow's daf. But you have to be familiar with two psukim in the Torah. Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches and Pasuk Yud Ches. The Pasuk says, there were two people that were fighting. One person hit his friend, Be'evin, with a stone, or Be'egroif, or with his fist. If the person doesn't die, the Nafal Mishkov, and he just ends up in a hospital somewhere. So two people got into a fight, a little brawl. No one died, but the Nafal Mishkov, somebody was beaten up pretty bad. Says the Pasuk, Im Yoko, if this guy gets up, again, he doesn't die. Vizalik Bechutz HaMashante, he's able to walk out of the room on his own strength. Venika Amaka, the person that hit him is going to be Potter, meaning we're not going to kill him. Rak, however, shifta yitim v'rapi yirapi. He has to pay shevis, he has to pay ripoy. These are two of the five things that every chevel v'chaveri has to pay. And this is where we know shevis from, this is where we know ripoy from. So at first glance, the pasuk is talking about two people that were fighting, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven hit Shimon, knocked him out pretty good. He didn't kill him. So v'nika maka, Reuven's not chayiv misa, but at the same time, he has to pay shevis and ripoy. What's the obvious kasha that Rashi asks? What's the chiddush that we don't kill him? The pasuk says v'nika maka as if it's newsworthy. If you didn't kill him, why should he be chayiv misa? If you killed him, emelo, but he didn't die. The pasuk says im yokum v'esalich b'chutz al mishantoy v'nika maka. I need the pasuk to tell me v'nika maka. What's the hamamina that he would be chayiv? Sok the mishnah. Hamaka is chaveru. If somebody hits his friend, ben be'evan, whether he hit him with a stone, ben be'egro, if he hit him with his fist, that's the lashon pasuk we just read. Vamdu l'misa. And Rashi says, Bezdin came, they did an assessment, and they decided that this person is going to die. The heiko mimasha hoya. And then he had a refuah. All of a sudden, everything is looking good. He's going to make it. Ula'acha mikan hichbid. And then afterwards, it turned for the worse again, and he died. Dalach is chayiv. Say the rabbanan is chayiv. There's no reason he shouldn't be chayiv. When he hit the person originally, we thought he was going to die. And at the end of the day, he died. So there's no reason that he shouldn't be chayiv. Now, what would be the reason maybe he shouldn't be chayiv? Because there was an interim period in between where things look good. Okay. But we don't look at that. We look at what happened at the beginning. We look at the initial blow. The blow was definitely Kedei Mahomes. I could have killed him. To the point that Bezdin, the smart people in the room, said he was going to die. And then afterwards, he ended up dying. So what happened in the middle doesn't concern me. The fact that in middle he got better, so there's a raglayim ledavar that when he died at the end, he didn't die machmas, the original makkah, because had he died machmas, the original makkah, he would have died initially. You see, he had a refuah. So for that reason, he's going to be potter. Tanu rabbanon azu darish Rav Nechemi. This was Rav Nechemi's makar. The pasuk says him yakum v'salich pachutz al neshantoy v'nika makkah. The pasuk is Kiriven and Asher, two people fight, one person gets knocked out. If he gets up and he doesn't die, v'nika makkah. The person that hit him is going to be potter. Fake the Gemara, the kasha we just spoke out. V'chisalah ta'itcha shezem ha'alich b'shuk v'zener. What was the havamid? The Torah had to say v'nika makkah. Why would I think he's chayv misa? Zem mahalach pashuk, he's walking on the street. Why should we kill this person? He didn't kill him. Hello, Zeshom, do the misa. Must be talking about a case where he really did die. So what does the pasuk mean when it says, Im yokim v'salik pachutz, he got better, but then he ended up dying. And that's exactly Rav Nechemia's case. Where originally we thought he was going to die. And then he was yokim v'salik pachutz amashanta, he got better, he had a refuah. And then, ikir chasr, v'na pasuk, pasuk doesn't say it. But then he died. Says v'hokel mimasha hayulachik kenichbedu meis. That's v'nika maka. That he's potter. So had Rav Nechem, you know he's potter. Doesn't say it mefurish in the pasuk, but he felt that that's what v'nika maka must be coming to tell me. Because what else is coming to tell me? It can't be coming to tell me what the pasuk sounds like. It's literally saying, which is that the person didn't die because my kamash malam shita. There has to be some chiddush over here. It must be That's the chiddush. Zok the gemara rabbanon hay v'nika hamaki madarshibe. What did the rabbanon do with v'nika hamaka? The rabbanon who hold in that case is going to be chayev. Malamid. It's coming to teach us shechayv shenoyisai. What's coming to teach us is that they used to lock the person up. So when somebody hits somebody and Bezdin assess that there's a good chance that this blow could be fatal, it might kill him, they weren't sure. They would lock this person up. They would lock him down so that he didn't flee, so he didn't run away, because this person might die, and if he dies, it's going to come out that you're a Reitzeach, and we're going to have to kill you. So they would lock him up. When this person now got up, was able to walk on his own 2 feet, v'nika hamaka, they would release him, because there was no reason to hold him down anymore. That's what v'nika hamaka means. V'nika hamaka doesn't mean that he's potter from Misa. He never died. V'nika hamaka means that we can let him out of jail. So Reb Nechemya had this whole raya that even if he died, being that in between he got better, still he's potter, because what else is v'nika hamaka coming to teach me? Says Rabbi, I'll tell you what it's coming to teach me. Not v'nika hamaka that he's not chayv misa. V'nika hamaka, we let him out of jail. We let him free. Why are we letting him free? Because we don't have to hold him anymore. Says the Gemara, Reb Nechemya chavisha minol. He had Reb Nechemya know this concept of chavisha. How did he know that if somebody hits somebody and there's a tzad that maybe he's going to be chayv misa, we lock him down for the interim period? Yalef mi mekoshish. He learned it from the mekoshish etzin. So who was the mekoshish? So the mekoshish mentioned then the parasha shlach. He was mechal Shabbos. He was Mechal Shabbos, the second Shabbos. He was Mechal Shabbos in the Midbar. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do with him. He knew it says Mechal El Moisumas, but he didn't know how to kill him. So he locked him up. He went to Hashem. Hashem told him, Mechal Shabbos is Skila. And he gave him Skila. But what did he do in that interim period when he wasn't sure what to do? He locked him up. So it says Reb Nechemya. So that's the limud right there. When you're not sure what to do with a person, you lock him up. But Zok the Gemara, Rabbanu, Nami Lel from Mekoshish. So why did Rabbanu learn that you lock a person up when you're not sure what to do with him from Mekoshish? Zok the Gemara, Mekoshish by Ketolo. Because Mekoshish is very different. The Mekoshish was Chayiv Misa. Moshe just didn't know which Misa to give him. But we know he knew he was Chayiv. It says Mechalel Moisumas. He just didn't know what Misa to give him. Being that he didn't know what Misa to give him, that's why there was a Shiloh. But the point is, he was for sure Chayiv Misa. That's why he locked him up. But this person, we don't know if he's Chayiv Misa in the first place, because maybe the person's going to get up, he's going to be better. That person you can't lock up. How could you learn locking up a person who maybe is Chayiv Misa from the Mekoshish, who was Vaday Chayiv Misa? From the Chemni, where it says, from Chemni was persuaded by that. But Yalof mi Megadif. He learned from the Megadif. So, we know a lot about the Megadif. Megadif was the person that was Mevarech as Hashem, and Moshe also didn't know what to do with him. So Moshe locked him up. And over there, do I have a Yadi Bar Ketolohu? He wasn't sure if he was Chayiv Misa at all. Why didn't he learn a Kal V'Chomer from a Kal Lov of Imai? You know, Shemin Adin. But the point is, by the Megadif, he wasn't sure what to do, and he locked him up. So, the Megadif was a Rasha. It was a special circumstance. As a matter of fact, Rashi speaks out, Moshe Rabbeinu, if he would have followed the letter of the law, had no business locking up the Megadif. Maybe it was a Chayiv Misa. It's a good point. Like Mechateise, he should have even assumed. But Moshe Rabbeinu thought that we probably have to do something with someone, and that's why he locked him up. He can't learn anything from the Ledeiris. Bottom line is, the Derech Agav, the Gemara said that the Mekoshish and the Megadif are two parashas in the Torah that sometimes get a little confusing. The Mekoshish was Mechal Shabbos, the Megadif was Mevarech Ches Hashem. Both times Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure what to do, but there was one difference. The Mekoshish Moshe knew was Chayiv Misa. He just didn't know which Misa. The Megadif Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure. He just didn't even know if he was Chayiv Misa. So the Gemara, that distinction is a braisa. What didn't he know? He just didn't know which Misa. The pasuk says he wasn't told what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know whether he was Chayev Misa at all. Exhale. So there's a very geshmaka Tosis over here. The second to top Tosis from the Yomid on a much lighter note, and we'll end with this. And that is, Tosis asks Akasha. There was a Mekoshish. The Mekoshish was Mechal Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu knew Mechalel Moisumas. He just didn't know what Misa to give him. What Misa am I supposed to give? So he locks him up, goes to Hashem, what do I do? And Hashem tells him Skila, and that's how we know that a Mechalel Shabbos is Chayev Skila. Freik Toisvis. If it says in the Torah, Mechalel Moisumas, and there's no other information telling us what Misa the Mekoshish is supposed to get, so it's a Stam Misa. And Stam Misa we know is Chenek. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu suffering? What was Moshe Rabbeinu shayla b'chalal? It says b'chalal moisumas. And wherever there's a Stam Misa in the Torah, we know Stam Misa is Chenek. Rav Shimon, everybody agrees Stam Misa is Chenek. So if Stam Misa is Chenek, Frank Tois was a bomb kasha. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Mekoshish was Chayv Misa. How did he know it? B'chalal moisumas. He just wasn't sure what Misa. Why wasn't he sure? Because he was never told. In other words, he was told Mois Yumas, he was told Stam Misa. So then that's the answer. Because Stam Misa is Chenek. Says Toysus. V'afa gav the Misa Stam Cheneki. Mitoich HaSvara, Mois Rabbeinu had a feeling that this should be a little bit different. Hoya Medama, because he thought that this Mechal Shabbos should be viewed like an Oved Avodas Koychovim, like an Oved Avodas Zara. The Beskilo. Says, place, where do you find the similarity between a Mechal Shabbos and a Oved Avodas Zara? Because the Mechal Shabbos befarhesio is kikoifa beikar, the koifa be maisa bereshis. The Mekoishis was Mechal Shabbos befarhesio. I mean that it was Mechal Shabbos befarhesio. What he did was tantamount to Avodas Zara. Why was it tantamount to Avodas Zara? Because an Avodas Zara is a koifa beikar, and a Mechal Shabbos befarhesio is koifa be maisa bereshis. So mean that it was koifa be maisa bereshis, he's like an Oved Avodas Zara. So Moshe Rabbeinu felt that even though it says Mechalel Mois Yumas, which means usually Stam Misas Chenek. But here I think maybe it's different. Maybe it's Skila. That was Moshe Rabbeinu Sofik. Chenek Skila. Chenek Skila. Skila Chenek. That was his Shaila. And that's why he says, lock him up. I'm going to go ask Hashem. Frank Rab Kivay, Gurindulian Hashas, right here on the side of the Gemara. Oy Bazoy. How do we know that if somebody's Mechal Shabbos, Bitsina, he's Chayiv Skila? What was Moshe Rabbeinu's whole tzad that the Mechal Shabbos, the Mekoshin, should have been Chayiv Skila? It was because it was done before Hesio. And when you do it before Hesio, you're koifah b'mayis bereshis. If you're Mechal Shabbos b'tzino, you're not koifah b'mayis bereshis. Incidentally, in Halacha, Mechal Shabbos before Hesio has a very special place. Sometimes he's treated like an Oved Avodah Zarah. Because yeah, he might be Yayin Nesach, maybe doesn't count for a minion. So whatever, Ayin b'poiskin. But the bottom line is, there is a distinction between a Mechal Shabbos before Hesio and a Mechal Shabbos b'tzino. And the distinction is, like Rashi says, like Tosfos says, a Mechal Shabbos before Hesio is k'koifah b'ikar, the k'koifah b'mayis. And says Tosfos, the whole tzad Moshe Rabbeinu had, that maybe the Mekoshin should be treated differently, is because he was Mechal Shabbos before Hesio. So Frank Reb Kivager, maybe when Hashem told him, by the way, yeah, the Mekoshish gets skila, it's not Stami Sitzchanik, he was only referring to a Mechal Shabbos before Hesia. And what he was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you go, you a Mechavin. We treat him like a Neved Avodah Zarah, and that's why he's going to get skila. But a Mechal Shabbos Petzina that's not treated like a Neved Avodah Zarah, maybe he shouldn't get skila. Maybe he should get Stami Sitzchanik. Either way, that's Reb Kivega's Kasha. So, you know, whenever Reb Kivega asks a Kasha, you have to be Medayik. Sometimes he says, Tzorachin, Tzorachin Ktsas, Tzorachin Godol, Hashem Yarena. Here Reb Kivega asks the Kasha, he doesn't give an answer, but he doesn't say Tzorachin. So, these nuances, we leave for the London. But the bottom line is, this is Reb Kivega's Kasher in Gilyan Hashas. But I saw the Chidah in his Svarim brings a teretz from a Kadman. He says a Dover Nifla Adamoy. A different teretz of Taisa's Kasher. Taisa says, what was Moshe Rabbeinu Safik? He says, Mechal Meis Yumas. We know Stam Misas Chenek. So he should have known that he's Chayiv Chenek. Zok the Chidah. A Mechal Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. Why? Because he desecrated something Kaddosh. Mechal Leha Meis Yumas. He took Shabbos, which is Kadosh, and he desecrated it. Says this Kadmon, that there's another place in the Torah where you find that if somebody desecrates Kedusha, he's Chayiv Misa. You know what that is? Bas Koyim, who's an Eishes, that's Mizano. Esavio hi mechaleles be'esh tisoref. That when a Bas Koyim defiles, makes chulin of Kedusha's Kohuna, she gets Reifa. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure. He said, on the one hand, it's Stam Misa, and Stam Misa's Chenek. But then again, I know that if somebody takes something Kodesh and he desecrates it, the Torah says, Beish Tisarif, this Reifa. And so Vio Himichalelas. And that was the Safik. The Safik was, is it Stam Misa's Chenek? Or maybe we look at her like the Bas Koyin that was Mazana, maybe it's Reifa. The Shaila wasn't Skila. Like Tosfos says, the Shiloh is Sreifa. Maybe we should look at him as Via Himachalelos Peshti Sorif, Dover Nifla Adamoid. But I saw the Chidon as far as the second Teretz. And that is based on a Tosfos. And we're going to end with this. And the second is Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Yotes Amabez, which is a very important Tosfos when you learn the Sugya Mekoshish. Tosfos in Perikesh Neichlan brings a Medrash. Medrash says as follows. When did the Mekoshish happen? When did this story go down? Maisa Mekoshish Hoye Betchilas Arbon, Miyad Acha Maisa Meraglan. Right in the beginning. Right when the Yidden sent the Meraglim, immediately after the story of the Meraglim, this Mekoshish gets up and he's Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia. Says Tosfos, Omru B'Medrash, to L'Shem Shemayim Neschavim. The Mekoshish, when he was Mechal Shabbos, he did it L'Shem Shemayim. Show you Oimrim Yisrael, because the Yidden was saying, Kimach and Igzar Lem Shloy the Kanis La'aretz, being that it was already told that the Yidden aren't going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael, Mi Maisa Meraglim, as a result of the Meraglim, Shuv Eimuch Yavim B'Mitzvahs. Maybe they don't have to do mitzvahs anymore. Oh, we're not going to Eretz Yisrael? Okay, we don't have to do mitzvahs anymore. On that, he got up. Zechilel Shabbos. He was Mechalel Shabbos. Kidei Sheyehorek. So that he should be killed. V'yiru Acherim. And everybody should see. V'loinosu Atzlefer. So they should know. They should know that it's not true. You can't just do whatever you want. I'll be Mechal Shabbos. I'll take one to the team. It was a suicide mission. But really, it was L'shem Shemayim Nischak. Now, freak them. Hashem Chedush Yagodis. How could it be Mechal Shabbos? I mean, it's a funny cheshbon, right? It's reminiscent of what Yael did in yesterday's daf. Yael, with Sisra, it was an Averu L'shma. That's what this was. This was an Averu L'shma. But how could he have done that? Says the Marashah Chap, that we know in Hilcha Shabbos is a concept of a Malacha She'en Etzricha L'gufa. So he says that this here was a Malacha She'en Etzricha L'gufa. Says the Chida, says the Chida, that it could be that's the Teretz, the Tosfos Kasha as well. Could be the Teretz is that Avada, it says Mechalel Moisumas. And based on that, maybe he should have understood Moshe that it was not Mises, Mises Chenek. But you know what threw Moshe off over here? Moshe knew this. Moshe knew that the Mech, by the way, who was the Mekoshesh? Slavchad. Moshe knew what Slavchad was thinking. He was thinking L'shem Shemayim. And not just that, it impacted the Etzem Malacha. It became a Malacha Shein Etzrich L'gu. And me that it was a malacha shein etzricha legufa, it's for that reason that he thought maybe it should be treated differently, and that's why he had a shayla. But we'll just conclude with an unbelievable chasam sefer. And that is, so you have, where's the parasha of the Mekosh is mentioned in the Torah? It's mentioned in parasha Shlach. It says, in the end of parasha Shlach, Vayihu bnei Yisroel bamidbar vayimtzu ish Mekosh sheitzen. It's the second to last thing that the Torah mentions in parasha Shlach. What's the last parasha? Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Dabra b'nei Yisrov, Yemar Talem, V'osu lehem tzitzis, Al-kan v'evig deyem, O'dei rosem v'nos, No'al tzitzis, Hakon v'psol t'cheles, V'yol lechem l'tzitzis. You have the parasha of tzitzis. So, the Torah says the parasha of the Mekoshesh, and immediately after, what do you have? You have the parsha of tzitzis. Says the Chasam Sofer, what's the smicha? It's not a coincidence. There has to be a reason. There's got to be some connection between the parsha of the Mekoshesh and the parsha of tzitzis. Says the Chasam Sofer, I'm going to tell you what the connection is. The Mekoshesh, Tosfos says, Bava Basra, Kufya Tesamid Beis, quoting this medrash that we just mentioned, his kavanah was L'shem Shemayim. Why was he Mechal Shabbos? Because he thought after the Chet of the Meravim, the Yidden were going to make a very bad mistake. They were going to think that had we gone to Eretz Yisrael, okay, in Eretz Yisrael we have to keep Torah mitzvahs, but we're not going to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to die in the Midbar. That's what we were just told. So in Chutz Laaretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, maybe we don't have to keep the Torah. So the Mekosh says, I'm going to show you that you're wrong. He goes, he's Mechal Shabbos, Bithar Hesia, he gets Mises Bezin. Everybody knows that just because you're not going into Eretz Yisrael doesn't mean it's all over. Says the Chasam Sofer, there's hidden in the mitzvah of tzitzis that very same message. Where is it hidden in the mitzvah of tzitzis? The Chasam Sofer says, then the parasha of tzitzis, we know how many tzitzis do you wear? You wear four tzitzis. Says Rashi, loy balas shalosh. If you have a beggar with three corners, you don't put on tzitzis. V'loy balas chamesh. And if you have a beggar with five corners, you don't put on tzitzis. Rather, a beged of four corners, you put on tzitzis. Why? Kineged arba l'shoynish al geula. Because the four tzitzis correspond to the four l'shoynish al geula. You ever knew this? Shenem abri mitzrayim v'hitzesi v'hitzalti v'ga'alti v'lokachti. So it's a Rashi in Chumash. Al arba kanfois, v'loi ba'la sholish, v'loi ba'la chumash. Why? Kineged arba l'shoynish al geula v'hitzesi v'hitzalti. Says the Chasam Sofer, Rashi over here, on Derech Drush, is saying something unbelievable. What were the four Lashonos of Geula? So the first three are related to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Vayitzeitzi, vihitzalti, vigo'alti. Vilakachti, the fourth Lashon of Geula, is referring to all the Rishonim say, is referring to Maimon Har Sinai. Vilakachti eschem lila'am. That's when we became a nation. That's when we stood tachas ahar. You know what the message of the four Lashonos of Geula are? There's a message over here that we have to remember every day. We have to remember every day, v'hitzesi v'hitzalti v'go'alti v'lokachti. But at the same time, we know that by the Leil Seder, there's a fifth cup. And what's the fifth cup? It's connected to the fifth Lashon of Geula. What's the fifth Lashon of Geula? That's v'hevesi. V'hevesi is referring to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Chasam Sofer, a person might think that I'm living in Chutz Laaretz, I'm not in Eretz Yisrael right now. So if I'm in Chutz Laaretz, I'm not in Eretz Yisrael, maybe I don't have to keep Torah mitzvahs. Maybe it's not so important. You know, if I was living in Eretz Yisrael, Yisrael Shrul and Alad Masan, we'd have a Beis HaMikdash, it'd be a Kohen Gadol, Leviim and everything. Then I would do Torah mitzvahs. But over here in Eretz Yisrael, or here in Chutz Laaretz, maybe I don't have to keep Torah mitzvahs. Maybe it's not such a big deal. So you know what we do every day? You know what we remind ourselves of every single day? We remember every day, Vaitzesi v'hitzalti v'go'alti v'lokachti, but v'loi balas chomesh. That's what we remind ourselves every day. We remember that we don't need five. You don't need Vehevesi. Because even if you're not in Eretz Yisrael, you still have an obligation. You still have an obligation to keep Torah mitzvahs. Because Vehevesi is not ma'akev. Just because you're a chutzlars doesn't mean that you're part of Torah mitzvahs. In chutzlars, you have an obligation to keep Torah mitzvahs as well. Listen to what Chassam Sofer says. We know the Gemara says that if I don't have a beggar of Dal Kanfer, it's not a big deal. I don't have to wear tzitzis if I don't have a beggar of Dal Kanfer. What's the big deal? But Be'idin Rischo, the Gemara says, when Hashem is angry, Hashem punishes a person, even for not buying the beggar of Dal Kanfas and going out of his way to put on tzitzis. So if you know what Be'idin Rischa means, it means that when a Yid is in Galus, and there's an obligation when you're Be'idin Rischa, when Hashem is angry, Kaviyochel, there's a headstone upon him. You're living in Galus. If you don't wear tzitzis, and you don't remind yourself every day that it's Vaitzesi, Vihitzalti, Vigoalti, Vilokachti, but Veloi Balas Chomesh, you don't need Vehevesi. That just because you're in Chutz La'aretz doesn't mean that you're part of from Torah mitzvahs, that's when Hashem is going to punish you. In Chutz La'aretz, Be'idin Rischon, this man of Golos, when we're not in Eretz Yisrael, that's when it's so critical to remember tzitzis. It's so critical to remember that it's four. Veloy Chumash, and the fifth one is not Ma'akiv. It doesn't matter that you don't have Eretz Yisrael. A Yid Chutz La'aretz has to keep Torah mitzvahs. Mamish says the Chassam Sofer, the message of the Mekoshesh. The Mekoshesh was coming to teach us that just because the Yidim weren't going to go into Eretz Yisrael didn't mean that it was fair game, you could do whatever you want. The Mekoshesh was Mechal Shabbos to show that even in the Midbar Chil Shabbos you get Skila 4. That's the message of the tzitzis. We wear 4. Veloy balas chomesh, Zok Rashi. You know why veloy balas chomesh? Because we have to remember vaytzeitzi v'itzalti v'goalti v'lokachti. You will mekabel the Torah. It doesn't matter if it is vehevesi. You're in Eretz Yisrael. It's not vehevesi. Everything is perfect. It's not. It doesn't matter. And I was thinking the pulpit rabbi, where he would take this to the next level, is that sometimes a person feels that, yeah, if my life is perfect, everything's great, I'm knocking on all cylinders, then I'll learn, I'll do what I have to do, then I'll keep Torah mitzvahs. If it's Vehevesi, I'm living in Eretz Yisrael, life is great, the weather's good every day, it's a good deal. Yeah, then of course. But Chutz La'aretz, where it's hard, I have tirdis, I live in a world of Hester Panim, of Parnosa, Daigis, a lot of things going on. That's the message of tzitzis. That's what tzitzis reminds us every single day. Tzitzis reminds us, Vaitzesi, Vitzalti, Vigoalti, Vilokachti. Even if it's not Vehevesi, even if it's not perfect, even if it's not exactly utopian the way we all would like it to be, it doesn't matter. A Yid has to go weiter, a Yid has to continue to keep Torah mitzvahs.